Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have returning guest Holly McKay.
Hi.
And today it's just her, no kids.
Thank God.
And then, all right, so first topic, Holly, we're going to talk about judgment and judgmental people in general.
Love it.
And I think you and I both, well, here, I'll speak for me and then I'll let you go into it. I'll say from my particular journey, like definitely up into my late 20s, I lived a more, I mean, that's not even necessarily true, but kind of like I looked more typical. Like I had the art teaching job. I don't know, like if you just looked at me, you know, I didn't have the tattoos. I think I was, I don't know how to explain it, but like my external life looked like I quote unquote had it all together, even though I was in so much pain. And then I've noticed as I've burst out of that for myself, how I've been sensitive to other people being judgmental to me and my choices and what I want to do and thinking that their way is more together or better. And now with Corona as well, I'm seeing it so clearly in people thinking, you know, the judgment's real on like how you're supposed to be going about it. And I'm not saying there's a lot of truth to certain of these things, but I think in general, this whole judgment thing needs to fucking stop. Like, it's not supportive to be judgmental.
Yeah.
Support doesn't look like that. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I agree. I just think in my past, you know, in my 20s as well, you know, I was a drug addict and, you know, was stereotyped as that and judged heavily. And even now, when I tell people I'm a recovering addict, they look down upon me because of that. And that's not cool. Like, I have my shit together now. And, you know, they don't look at that. They just hear, you know, recovering addict and they're like, ooh, you know, she was a bad girl or whatever they want to say. And it's just not cool. And yeah, with the whole Corona thing too, you're seeing people for who they really are now.
Right? It's becoming so clear into the surface.
Yeah. Like when adversity, they say when adversity hits, your true self comes out. And that's so true.
And you're just obviously one of my favorite people walking this planet.
Aww.
You are. I mean, Holly, I've been getting to see every day in our quarantine and life-saving for me and I know for you.
For me, definitely.
Yeah, it really is. And I love that you've been to the depths of yourself and life and came through more seasoned, layered. You know, you can feel that you've been through these things and continue to rise. And I just love that. I'm not saying everyone has to go through,
right,
you know, an addict phase to have that necessarily. Like, I don't want anyone listening to be like, oh, I better start that to, you know, be yeah, someone that Kate would like or something. But like, I think it's cool, the people who have explored parts of themselves, no matter what that looks like.
And I don't regret any of it. I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, I love who I am today. I think if I didn't go through what I went through, I wouldn't be who I am today. I don't know what that would look like, but, you know, I'm happy, I'm content, and I'm good with it. I'm good with telling people about my past. I have no problem opening up and telling people exactly where I've been, where I've come from, because they see who I am today.
Yeah. And Holly is beautiful inside and out, like mind, body, spirit connection. Holly's got it going on.
Thanks, Kate.
It's true. Like, she is, like, first of all, her fashion style is incredible. Like, for, I think, other level. And she's just like this gorgeous being, but in all areas, you know? And I just think it's so rare. And if anyone ever fucks with her, I'll kill them, you know? I never mean for it to go in that direction. And then next thing you know, I'm threatening.
Threatening lives.
No, because it's like there are some just really rare, special souls that, like, you know, not that you need my protecting or anything like that. But, like, I do get where I'm like, I can't picture someone wanting to judge you or your past when it's so clearly made you evolve and grow into a being that's so rare. And I think anyone who's been through whatever their path is that they've struggled with, it's like there's ways to grow through that in a really beautiful, spiritually evolving way. Like, yeah. Own it, though.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be ashamed of it.
No. And if you feel different than everyone, that's not a bad thing either. You'll eventually find your tribe, you know? It's my tribe continues. Like, I have definitely found people over the years that I'm still fucking with and then, like, reconnecting with new people. But it's like all you can do is be authentic. And I feel like in a lot of spiritual communities, they preach that word. But then if you actually be who you truly are, if it's not what they think it should be, it freaks them out. It's like, be who you really are, and the right people who are actually authentic beings will just resonate right with you and flock to you.
Right. You'll attract who you are.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was our... yeah. And the next thing I have is just friendship. I wrote a really funny podcast list because it's kind of like super basic points. But what have you learned about friendship in the last year or months or whatever you want to share?
I have a tendency when I'm in relationships with men to cling to them and kind of don't really have any outside friendships. And like, I think I'm just starting to realize through this quarantine and everything how important that girlfriendship is and how needed it is. And I'd be lost without Kate, honestly. Like, if we didn't reconnect and I was alone during this quarantine, I mean, I can't tell you where I would be. I think I'd lose my mind, honestly.
Oh, same here. I can't even think about it, right? Because it would have been the depression that would have come about would have been so intense. I don't know how I would have gotten out of it. And I feel what you're feeling. Like, a lot of times in my past, I'd have the boyfriend and that would be pretty much my whole world.
Right.
And reconnecting to my elementary good friend, you know, elementary school good friend, and having it be so easy and fun.
Right.
And chill. Like, we could just chill. Like, we could just lay in bed. Like, not do it. You know, like, really, like, but that's like a certain kind of chill you have to get to be able to just be around someone like that. But it's really made me be like, yes, like, I'm so lucky to have an awesome boyfriend, but like, I also need like this best girlfriendship. And it's not just Holly. Like, we're close friends with Gloria, who we fucking love. I don't want to start naming everyone. Shout out to Jackie. Like, because I don't, I mean, there are other people too that I don't want to just shout out everyone. But like, once again, I don't know what I would be doing without reconnecting with you. And you should also, for those of you listening, I'll post, we took some pictures. I'll be posting one of them.
But yeah, that's for a photo shoot.
But that's part of it too, is like, we can have last minute photo shoots. Like, we were at Gloria's and we're like, let's just freaking do this. It's that
play
kind
dress
of fun.
Up and take pictures. Yeah.
And I think that's something that adults lose a lot of the time, is like that freedom to play.
Yeah.
And us reconnecting too. I have so many flashes.
Yeah.
Of like elementary school times, middle school times. And that's something else I wrote, is just the importance of nostalgia, not in a way where you're like, oh, I wish I could go back. It's more of like refinding your inner child and that energy, that life force that really makes you feel good and alive and following that.
Right. There's one more thing I wanted to say about friendship too. I love the friendships where you can go, like my friend Gloria, we can go weeks without talking and then talk. And it's just like, you know, we didn't miss a beat. It's great to have that with humans, you know?
And she's another person whose chill level, like she's a skateboarding queen and she's just like a chilled out lady, you know, like, but I just know that some people could look into our lives and have judgment for certain, our pasts. And like, even my rap song, Labia Game, like that can look a certain way if you want to judge it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't really want to like look at the fun and the play level of certain things, like even in our photo shoot, the one I'm going to be posting, you're holding, I don't know what you call that.
Like a hedge clippers or something.
Yeah. Like, and I'm holding a saw and hammer, but like, we're having fun and like little kids do stuff like that. They have their fake weapons and play with them. And it's like, someone could look at them and be like, what's wrong with them?
Right.
Are they on drugs or like something corny, when it's instead of like, go a little deeper and see the fun, see the art coming out.
Live a little.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Holly and I, we know how to live.
Yeah.
We do.
That's for sure.
Yeah. My next stop for us is eventually having a big dance party.
That'll be fun.
With all the kids.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to mention, so Holly was the first person to kind of ever show me porn.
That's a very true statement.
Well, I think we were in like third grade around. Probably. And I went to her grandparents' house and she had found, I guess, your grandfather's Playboy, your cousin or something had showed you.
Yes, my cousin sneakily showed me where she found my grandfather's Playboy. And I was like, thought I was all like bad and cool, and I'm like, Kate, check this out.
I remember it was like my first real titty, like other than seeing like your mom's, or you know what I mean, like I remember like, whoa, like that stood out, like obviously
you
like
remember it.
Yeah. So there's that bond there. And like, I think also sexuality is so important in friendship and the freedom of being able to talk honestly. Like Holly and I, we ran, which is a very big deal for us, we ran a mile.
Yes, huge deal.
Straight.
Yeah. From not running at all.
Yes, that's why it's a big deal for us, guys. Yes, because some people might be like, a mile.
Yeah.
We were not running, so to run a mile straight. And like, the whole time I was just like, I was just saying whatever I wanted to about like sex and stuff, but not like in a way that was like salacious to you. It was just like, we could have the most open conversations and there's no judgment of like, ew, why would you. I think we started running and I was like, have you had anal, like as we start our run. That's our running topics. So I think it's just nice to be like a free person and talk about what do you want to talk about. No more like Mormon Puritan mentality. It's so corny.
No.
And your parents are cool as fuck, too, though.
Yeah, they're super cool and laid back.
I've been enjoying getting to reconnect with them since forever.
Yeah, yeah.
They're cool people. And Holly has a ton of animals. Well, your parents have a ton of animals, one being a bird Rocket that I'm just obsessed with.
Yeah, he's some sort of, I forget what kind of parrot he is. He's some sort of parrot, though.
And they let him out and about.
And he talks, too.
He does talk.
He says certain words. He'll scream my kids' names. And he got that from me and my mom screaming,
Harlow!
Harlow! Yeah. So he's super cute.
Can you give us some parenting tips? I know I'm a parent as well, so maybe I'll go next. But can you get, because I think you're a rockin' mom.
Thank you. One of my biggest things, I think, is, what are the words I'm looking for? Like, pick your battles, almost. You know, there's some things worth fighting over, and other things I just let it go, because it's so energy draining being a mom. And if I fought about every little thing that they did that I didn't want them to do, I'd be screaming all day long. So
yeah.
I think that's one of my biggest tips.
And I think something that's similar to both of us and to Gloria as parents is for the most part, giving our kids the freedom to be who they are.
Exactly, that too.
And to speak their mind. Because there are a lot of parents who accidentally maybe try to like shift their kids into things they're not to make the parents feel better.
Yes.
And what I've really noticed is that you let your kids be who they are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that's so important and unfortunately a bit rare. Hopefully that's changing. Mm-hmm. And they're good kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're rad.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into boundaries too, because I think it relates to parenting and to friendship. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important that everyone know that they have the right to set boundaries and allow themselves to feel comfortable.
And to say no.
Yes.
Well, I'm actually, that's probably one of my qualities that I'm working on, because I have a really hard time saying no to people and just, you know, pleasing them, because I don't want to have any drama or upset anyone. But it's definitely something that I'm aware of and that I'm working on. So
I think it's hard, right? Yeah, you don't want to upset people. You don't want to be, quote unquote, confrontational.
Right.
Or the bad guy, whatever that really means. Right.
But in the long run, like, you're only hurting yourself by not setting those boundaries, because I end up doing something I don't want to be doing, or, you know, feeling some sort of way about it. And then you build resentment. So, like, really, it's so important to be able to say no.
Absolutely. And knowing that you can't actually give and be kind to others if you're pouring from an empty cup.
Yeah.
So first you have to give to yourself and do what you need. Holly showed me the other day on Snapchat how to hit the memories button. I did not know this. And immediately this picture came up from only like 6 or 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I looked like I was dying. Dead. I mean, I kind of was like, because I hadn't followed the pull back here yet.
Right.
But that was, you know, it's a little different than boundaries, but it's in the sense of like taking care of yourself and knowing that that's okay. And it was very hard for me to listen to that pull, even though I was not in great shape at that point, because I was trying so hard to still live for other people.
Right.
And doing what other people thought I should do. Especially when it comes to parenting stuff.
Right.
I was still very much, you know, I don't know how much I want to share on the podcast, because I'm also working on the fact that I have a right to certain privacy, which is funny because it's called invasion of privacy. But like, I really did not realize that I have a right to keep a lot still to myself, even with a podcast that's supposed to be very open. Giving and open. Yeah. But I'll just say it was very, very hard to do what my soul really needed. Like, I had to hit a bunch of emotional rock bottoms. You know what I mean? To give myself permission to like, you're allowed to be happy.
Yeah.
So that was crazy. And I had no idea it was going to lead me to like, well, we had no idea Corona was going to come about, and that because before Corona, Holly was working constantly.
Yeah. Not more than 2 months ago, I was like, Kate, I wish I had more time to hang out with you. I never have time to hang out with my friends, like this, that, the other thing, moaning about it. And now,
literally a week after you said that.
Yeah. Corona hit.
We were talking about this yesterday. I was like, you said that, and then boom, like, now we get to hang every day. Yeah.
So as terrible as Corona is, it's brought about some really, you know, awakening and lovely things. I've learned a lot in these past few weeks about myself, and I'm sure a lot of people have as well, whether good or bad. But, you know, it shows who you truly are when.
Yeah. And this friendship that got to so deeply reconnect, it doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, even when we have to go back to our working days.
Yeah.
Like, the bond's there. It's forever changed my life and made me believe again in magic, because like finding CG and that old connection you know, and then also like me and you. And right. once again, there are other people. They're just not here. I don't want to have to keep bringing them in.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you're offended, I'm sorry. But like it does. It's just been a wild, amazing thing, even though I know Corona is also awful.
Right. Exactly. I'm not trying to take away about how bad Corona really is, but I mean,
22 million people have applied for unemployment.
Yeah. We have to look at the positive, though.
Yes. That's all you can do. Surrender is the only thing mm-hmm. that is going to get us through this. Because what are you going to do? Fight Corona? Like the whole pandemic? Like it's here, you know? All right, let's see. Okay, so I got to rewatch Suicide Squad with Holly and her two daughters. Tell us what you thought about it.
Loved it.
What did you love about it?
Harley Quinn. First of all, Harley Quinn and the Joker's relationship, I was like obsessed with.
Yes.
The Joker just does it for me.
Jared Leto's Joker.
Yes, yes, exactly. I mean, their relationship is so sexy in that movie. I love it. That was one of my favorite things about the movie. But Harley Quinn is so badass. And
she's sexy, badass.
Yeah.
Comes into her own. Talk about owning it. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
She owns it.
She owns it. And Margot yeah. Robbie plays her
yeah.
perfectly.
Such a good, yeah.
I wonder who could ever play Harley Quinn other than her.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she just takes it and runs with it perfectly. And then, yeah, I want to see another Joker Harley Quinn movie that focuses on them.
I do too.
We need it.
Yeah.
But I was telling you how Jared, when he was filming that role, went into it like he would not get out of character and was sending the cast, like Will and Margot, crazy gifts like dead rats and live snakes.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah.
That's
so he put off a lot of people. So I hope they can make amends so they can, you know, take it into a whole movie just them. Because you're right. It is sexy.
Yeah. I love that.
We already went through our list, so we're going to have to think of other topics.
Let's talk about TikTok.
Okay. You take it.
All right. Me and Kate want to do a TikTok video so bad, but we're trying to figure out how to work the damn thing.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to work it. And then, because we can either memorize dances or we can make our own.
Yeah, but keep your eyes out because we're coming in strong.
We are going to. Once we work this out,
yeah,
it's over. It might take us another year. No, no, you kind of, because Rowan did hers.
Rowan did one. My daughter did one. So she knows how to work it. So I think if we just figure out a dance, then we'll be up and running.
So look out for us, yeah. TikTok world. We're coming. All right. So can I ask you then some more questions about your journey?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if I ask something you don't want to answer, you just say, pay us.
Okay. I'm pretty open, though.
So when did you start experimenting with drugs?
So, you know, in high school, I dabbled with alcohol. You know, the thing back then was Ritalin, snorting Ritalin. So okay. I was snorting Ritalin in high school.
And did anyone know you were doing this?
No. Yeah, not like friends of mine were doing it with me. So it's not like I was hiding it from anyone. Like, we as friends, like, were just doing it. And then I'd say around, I was maybe a senior in high school, I tried coke for the first time.
Okay.
And then from there, I kind of just spiraled out of control. I would do anything and everything. You know, I could go through a list of drugs, but pretty much, you know, what really led me to my bottom was, I guess, around 22. I was doing opiates pretty much every day, and they got to be too expensive. And then someone introduced me to heroin, and I'm like, hey, it's cheaper, it's stronger, great. So that's how my heroin addiction started. That lasted for about 2 years. I ended up getting arrested. I had 30 bags of heroin on me.
So they were going to charge you with intent to
distribute.
Right. Even though that's not what she was doing.
No, it was all for me. But I had just gotten birthday money or something. I was stocking up. And yeah, I got arrested with intent to distribute heroin. So I was looking at 10 years in prison.
Holy shit.
Yeah, my parents, thank God, got me a lawyer. I put my parents through hell as a kid, which I feel terribly about. But I think I'm making it up to them now.
You're just such a good soul and person to be around. I think anyone who gets to be around you is lucky. And you've worked hard at getting your shit together, whatever that means.
Right.
Because when I say getting your shit together, that doesn't have to mean being totally sober. I'm not just saying that to you. I'm saying to anyone listening.
Right.
It's just finding your anchor and finding your balance and what works for you.
Right.
And you're so centered.
And living a functional.
Yes.
Thriving life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you do that.
Yes.
And Holly makes sure she works out almost every day, whether it's us running or her either instructing or doing yoga.
Yes.
You know, you've got it going on.
Thank you.
So then after you got arrested,
mm-hmm.
from there, how did you come through everything?
So after I got arrested, my lawyer was like, do me a favor or do yourself a favor. And go away to rehab. So I went to rehab in Florida. I think the first time I was in rehab, I was in for 3 months. And then I had to fly home to come to court for my trial. And they dropped my charges down to, I forget what it was, but it was like possession of heroin or something like that. So I got the 10 years dropped. So I decided while I was home that it'd be a great idea to use again. So my mom knew it. So when I went back to Florida to rehab, I was actually in halfway then. She called and told them that I used, and they dropped me and put me back in rehab. So I was in rehab for a good like 9 months, I'd say.
Okay. And you had to go through detox in jail and a harsh one when you first went there, right?
Yes.
Which I've heard feels like you're dying.
Yes. So when I was in jail for the 3 days when I first got arrested, it was hell. It was torture. Those wool blankets are awful when you're detoxing and you have the chills and you can't get warm and you're cold. And it was just awful. I would never want to, like, that feeling alone keeps me from not going back to heroin.
Those fucking wool blankets.
Seriously.
Well, wool is just a really uncomfortable fabric.
They felt like Brillo pads.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that too, like, whether it's prison or a mental institution, I mean, we can step it up a little bit. Whether with the beds and the blankets, it's like, these are still humans, everyone. Yeah. They're us. We're all one.
Right.
And that could be anyone who slips and does something that gets them in that place.
Right.
You know? And right. Everyone knows, well, not everyone, but like my boyfriend, you know, for example, like it's just ridiculous that someone ends up in a place and it's like, all right, well, we'll treat them like that could never be us or something. It's like, how about shifting into a state of mind where we want to care for the whole.
Right.
And realize that could be any one of us at any point in our lives. Like, I don't know. I just think that's so insulting, but you can keep going. So, so you detoxed, you were total. I know you went back home and then had to go back. You were there total then 9 months in the rehab.
In the rehab, 9 months. Yeah. And I think for the first month I was sick.
Wow.
Yeah. I lost like 20 pounds. I was looking gnarly. Yeah.
And then how, like, was it a month in or two? Like, when did things start to pick up?
probably right after that month, like I started feeling better. I started feeling like myself again. Started eating again, you know, working out a little bit here and there. And things just progressed in there. I, you know, thank my life on my therapist, for my therapist in treatment.
Was it a man or a woman?
A woman.
Do you ever, are you in contact with her
still?
We're
friends on Facebook, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't really talk to her that much anymore, but I know if I reached out to her, if I had any issues at all, she'd be there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what it is, but I got an audio file text from your daughter, Robin. Oh.
Where are you?
Yeah. Should I text her that we're podcasting, but we'll be done?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, everyone, I'm texting. Well, I got a call from Gloria's son, Josie, looking for your daughter Harlow.
Oh my god, so funny.
This morning I was like, Harlow's not with me, and he was like, oh, forget it, and, like, basically hung up on me. I was like, yeah, I think I couldn't listen to what Harlow's saying, but I'm sure she's like, where are you guys? Okay, I'll say we'll be back soon, because we won't do a total, we don't have to do a full hour.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done 30 so far. We'll do like another 15. I know what you should do, Holly. Why don't you pull for everyone two cards, one from the Goddess deck and one from the Archangel Michael deck.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and then maybe together we can, because I'm kind of teaching Holly how to read the regular tarot deck as well. Right now she's going to pull for you guys from the Angel decks, but Holly is a super in-tune goddess, so she's been doing her card magic lately.
All right, let me just get the cards out here.
And this is from the Goddess deck, Doreen Virtues.
So, Isis?
Isis.
Isis. Past life. Oh, this one's cool. It says on the card, the situation involves your past life memories, which I think is so cool. I totally believe in past lives.
Me too.
I kind of want to read a snippet out of the book for you just so you get a better idea of what it means. Let me just find it.
And while I do that, I'll just say something about past lives. Like, sometimes we're all working through something karmically right now as well. That's not just karma from this life, but the collective karma from the lives that we've been living. So we're trying to clear these historical wounds together. So sometimes when we're wondering, why do I feel so stuck, or why is this awful thing happening? We're trying to heal lifetimes and lifetimes of certain types of abuses. Even we're still healing stuff from slavery, the Holocaust. And when I say slavery, it's not just slavery from African Americans. It's also back with Egypt and the Pharaoh. And like, we've been mistreating humans and animals for so many years that we're trying to go through this evolution where we actually learn how to treat each other and all of humanity, including the animals and the planet. All right, you ready, Holly?
Yeah, I'm just going to read a snippet from it.
Okay.
I've called your attention to this condition so that you may unearth and uproot past memories. Sometimes you bury those memories to shield yourself from psychic pain or embarrassment, so you won't remember those awkward moments when life tested you to the maximum. Reveal those lessons to yourself now, strong sorceress, and move forward with the confidence that you have sage wisdom behind you.
Nice.
Which is very cool.
Okay, so that was from the Goddess Guidance deck. And now we'll do one from one of my other favorite decks, Archangel Michael. And I think it's really important. I love having these kinds of decks at my disposal. They're really good reminders to tune in to other dimensions and deities, and that you're not alone. Support is always here for you.
Oh, this is a good one.
Okay.
I'm loving it. Okay. So this one is from the Archangel Michael. And it says, new beginnings and a fresh start. And the prayer is, thank you for bringing new opportunities and offering support, and for helping me release and heal my past. Fill me with trust as I experience these life changes.
Aww.
Which I think is so appropriate right now, as, you know, this corona thing is going on and what's going to happen. And, you know, everyone's fearful of maybe losing their jobs or, but.
We're going to somehow come through this all together.
Right.
I don't know how. I'm not saying there aren't horrors that are happening, but somehow I think love and humanity will win and come through. And fresh starts, it's kind of what I was saying too about like people with past who have done things. And I don't ever think it's about regretting, right? Because everything makes up our journey. And if you take or remove one stone, the whole path crumbles. I think it's more of remembering you can always have a fresh start. That's Phoenix energy, rising time and time again. So there's no point in ever really caving on yourself and being so hard on yourself. This is all about learning and loving yourself more and more.
And growing.
Amen. All right, Holly and I are going to do a tarot card together. Because like I said, I've been teaching Hall how to read. So it's the Shaman of Discs, which is also the King of Pentacles. This is the Mother Peace deck. So it's a little bit different in the way it phrases it. But so Shaman of Discs, Hall, is also King of Pentacles. Do you remember what Pentacles energy is?
Emotion?
Nope, that's cups.
Thoughts?
That's more of the
primal sword.
No. Pentacles is like the seed of physical manifestation. So Shaman of Discs or King of Discs, I'll go into it and then you can like feel into the visual of what's coming through and that in the colors. This is reminding everyone that you can create your reality. You are the king of your reality. We become accidental victims and we feel helpless because that's kind of the energy that goes around often. It's like we forget that we are these magicians, in a sense, walking the earth, and we are able to co-create our realities. So when we become really downtrodden with what's going on, feeling like we're helpless and powerless, it's like the Joker said, desire becomes surrender, surrender becomes power. There, in the surrender, we are allowed to actually find our true power. Sometimes we have to have the universe take away what our ego thinks we want for something to really come through that's in actual alignment with our souls. Mm. So that whole thing again, which is how we watch Suicide Squad, I was like, once again, it's desire becomes surrender, surrender becomes power. Our truest desires are sometimes so hidden from us because we had to put layers and layers of defenses on top of them.
Right.
So even with Corona, as things are being taken from us, and when a loved one's being taken from us, I'm not going to even tackle that because that's a whole other kind of loss that would be a whole episode on its own. I'm talking about like when a job's taken away or somehow in that loss, you have to surrender. And that's when another kind of power can come through, of really letting that river swim the fish, in a sense. And, you know, we only have so much ability to fight God, goddess, the universe, whatever you want to call it. So this card is once again, like, you have the ability to create and manifest the world of your dreams, but sometimes your truest desires are still hidden from you because your ego is so active out of survival. But this is reclaiming your power, but from a place of surrender into your truest desires.
I don't know what I really get from this card. There's a guy on a horse and there's a bird on a hawk, I think it is, on a branch. And then the sun is rising behind him. So it looks like he's moving forward.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
it's like continuing one step in front of the other.
Right, and there's only good stuff ahead of them, almost.
And falcon or hawk energy,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't just represent the freedom to open up into your truth. It's also, there's an impersonal reason for things. So sometimes we get so stuck in that, but this is what I want, and this is what my ego thinks I want. Meanwhile, there's a bigger reason for everything that's shifting and happening.
Right.
And sometimes we have to kind of float above ourselves into that hawk-like perspective that has a different from above way of looking down at things.
Yeah, different perspective.
Yeah, sometimes it's easier to understand why things are happening when you can go up from there. Mm-hmm. And just once again, trusting as best you can and having faith that all of this is leading us to a more beautiful way of being. Because this whole systems were broken. People were suffering. You know, there shouldn't be such a gap in incomes anyway. Right. Where there's so many people suffering and homeless, and then so many people that are like filthy, filthy rich. Like, that's not how this world's supposed to be.
No.
We need to start taking care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to take a different perspective, even when it feels like we're being punished.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Which really applies right now.
Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoyed our card stuff. And then before we get off, Hall, are there any... Do you have any quotes that you want to share that you've posted lately or any you want to look up?
Maybe I'll try to look up one.
All right. And then I'm trying to think if I've actually, Gloria sent me a hilarious meme from Instagram, and it's these three aliens, and this one alien comes up to the two and it says, "Hey ladies, what you up to?" And then one of the other aliens says, "Watching season 2020 of Earth, shit is getting wild." And first of all, you all know I love aliens. But I love this because it's kind of that other perspective thing again. It's like, what's going on Earth? It's some wild shit. And yet it's happening for a reason. Doesn't mean we all have to know the reason yet. I did a podcast a couple weeks ago. We were talking about how the Earth... Gaia is the Earth soul's name, but the Earth is and was dying. So things are happening, even though, like I said, it doesn't make it great and okay that people are losing jobs and that people are losing loved ones. But somehow it's just a huge wake up call and it's time for a shift. It really is. All right.
I found a good quote that I really like, at least. It says, "Attract what you expect. Reflect what you desire, become what you respect, and mirror what you admire."
Ooh, beautiful.
Yeah, I thought that was really great.
And just being a loving presence to the world. Loving doesn't mean cutting off your dark places at all. Like, be a real fucking human.
Authenticity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Holly's one of the best people walking this earth, but she's not just like, love and light. You know, like, we curse. I'm not saying you have to curse, but right. Like, be a real person.
Right.
None of this fake shit.
I don't jive with people who I don't sense that authentic self.
Yeah, realness is good.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you, Holly, for coming on.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Yeah, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at the Smokin', just Smokin', no G, Smokin' Yogi.
Follow her. Her pictures are insane, amazing. Follow her. And she'll be doing, I think, in the future, more lives on there.
Yeah, more live yoga sessions, possibly.
And we want to do a live.
Yeah, we'll combine something and...
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Maybe tomorrow, even to promote the podcast, we'll do one somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
So follow her there. And then for me, Instagram at the Kate Wolf. If you want a healing, kwolf27@gmail.com. I don't have any shows to promote right now because all the comedy clubs are closed. But hopefully
soon.
And guys, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.